The Science Show is on the road this week, going to America, China, Uganda, Puerto Rico and Gondwana, all with one little cab charge. And first we meet Gypsy Amber D'Souza. There's a name for you. I don't think we've had a Gypsy Amber in the Science Show before. She's a professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, and she's trying to work out why men are more susceptible to the virus and possible cancer you may get after oral sex than are women. Why the difference? My first question, where did your name come from?
My parents are very unusual, and they each picked a name that they loved and couldn't decide between them. So they took Gypsy and they took Amber and they put them together in one long word.
I find it delightful. Now, give me some of the figures, the differences between men and women, which people might find rather surprising.
Well, in thinking about the context of oral cancer, it's much more common in men than women, but it is still a relatively rare cancer overall, even among men, especially the HPV-related tonsillar cancer. What is often misunderstood is that because HPV is a sexually transmitted disease and the rate of these HPV-associated cancers is rising, people worry about their own risk a lot and think, oh my goodness, I'm a man, I've had three sexual partners, what if I have this infection, right? And so it is an STD, risk does increase with your number of sexual partners, but the risk of becoming infected still is fairly modest. We think maybe a third of men become infected with this HPV virus at some point in their life, most clear it very quickly. So the absolute risk of going on to get cancer still is very low.
Okay, and why are the figures going up at all? Is it because oral sex is more common?
That's a great question. So oral sex is more common than it used to be, but the change is not that large. In a study we recently did, around 60 to 70% of people used to perform oral sex at some point in their life. Now it's closer to maybe 80% of people. Most men and women perform oral sex at some point, but they might have a few more partners in the younger age cohorts than people used to, so that's part of it. And not only are they having a few more partners, but they're also more likely to have oral sex at a young age as their first sexual act, and that can influence your body's immune reaction to the virus, we think.
But the differences are between men and women in terms of susceptibility to cancer. Why is there this difference, do you think?
And that's one of the things I've been thinking a lot about these past years is, why is this cancer more common in men than women? So we did a study where we looked in oral cells from men and women for the HPV virus and tried to understand its natural history. And what we saw was that men and women both get this infection in their mouths, but that men are more likely to become infected than women. Even if you compare men and women who have the same number of recent partners, a man's risk of becoming infected is higher. And we thought, okay, well, maybe that's because of who they're performing oral sex on. Maybe it's that performing oral sex on a woman has more risk than performing oral sex on a man. But that's actually not what we saw. When we looked at women who were bisexual or lesbian in our study, their risk was not as high as the heterosexual men, although both the lesbians and the heterosexual men were performing oral sex on a woman, the heterosexual men had a higher risk of becoming infected.
And so what you've inferred, if I've got it right, is that women who are having sex vaginally probably get an infection to the cervix, really, which gives them an immunity of sorts, and so they're less susceptible when it comes to the oral part, whereas men don't have that preparation and therefore don't have the immunity that the women do.
So now you're getting to the part that we have to infer. But what our findings from the epidemiologic research suggest is that it's possible that when women become infected cervically, and cervical infection is much more common than oral HPV infection. So if your first infection is cervical, we think that many women's bodies mount an immune response, and that maybe when you become exposed orally, you're less likely to become infected. And the reason we think that is that women who had had more vaginal sex partners were less likely to become infected with oral HPV. So that's consistent with the possibility that women mount a stronger immune response to genital infection than men do.
And what about oral and pharyngeal cancer? Is it deadly? Is it treatable?
So the rate of HPV-related oropharyngeal cancer is higher in men than in women, but women absolutely get this cancer as well. The good thing is that while head and neck cancer survival overall is fairly poor at around 60% for 5 years, HPV-related oropharyngeal cancer has better survival. So women and men who have this cancer have fairly good survival, and both are susceptible to getting this cancer. It's just that women acquire it at a lower rate.
And what about Gardasil? What about the work of Ian Fraser and others in producing a vaccine to protect from this papilloma virus? Is that possibly protective in the same way for oral cancer like this, in oral infection?
We think that it is, and that's the Gardasil vaccine, the HPV vaccines in general, are one of the most exciting parts of being an HPV researcher, seeing people who have these cancers and knowing that now we have a way to prevent these cancers is so exciting. Now, the big randomized trials that looked at the vaccine efficacy didn't have original endpoints to look at oral HPV infection when they were first designed. They were really designed to look at prevention of cervical and anal infection and those cancers, which they do wonderfully. But they did go back into those populations of people who got the vaccine and didn't, and they looked at their oral HPV infection rates, and oral HPV infection was there in the people who didn't get the vaccine and not there in the people who got the vaccine, which is very suggestive that the vaccine also works against oral HPV. So there's a lot of hope.
And even if you've got an infection, can you get rid of it?
No, unfortunately, the HPV vaccine does not work once you're already infected. It doesn't help you clear the virus. That's why we're targeting vaccination for 11 to 26-year-olds. And that varies a little bit the exact age range by country. But really, you can still get protection even if you've been exposed to one or two types and you don't have the others that are in the vaccine. You can still be protected from those.
And that's managed as a kind of routine here, is it? Or is there resistance to it?
Oh, in the U.S., unfortunately, our vaccination rates are not as high as we'd like. We don't have herd immunity yet, which means once you get 80 or 90% of your population vaccinated, then you really begin to impact the circulation of that virus. We are doing better, though. Our trend is towards increased vaccination, but we have a long way to go, and that's for girls' vaccination. I'm the mother of two young boys, and, you know, I monitor those vaccination rates in the boys. They are still very, very low, although you can prevent anal cancer and penile warts, which are very important.
When are you coming to Australia?
I'm coming in November this year. I'm very excited. It's my first trip. I'm going to be speaking at the HIV conference, and I really look forward to visiting you.
I look forward to it. Gypsy Amber D'Souza is an associate professor at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.